that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Verse 6. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Please be seated. Thank you. Well, it's certainly a challenging passage to read and understand and try to apply in today's world that we live in. And I think that the theme of the passage is getting along with the government, at the same time getting along with God. You know, Romans teaches us that we are to get along with other believers. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, last week. And the way that we do that is we show agape love towards them. Sacrificial agape love is the way we get along with other believers. We're also to get along with those who persecute us, whether they're Christians, whether they're not Christians. And the idea, the medicine for that, the healing for that, is what really works for that, is not to take revenge, not to seek revenge for those who do us wrong. Well, this passage fits right into that. Paul now moves our attentions to getting along with the government, getting along with those elected officials that are over us. You know, last week, our oldest son was at our house visiting us, and you know, everybody knows he's a deputy marshal in Indiana, and he spends his time enforcing the law. And so we decided as a family to go play basketball, and so we got in his Suburban, and we were headed out King Road, and King Road kind of stops at Route 42, which is a major intersection. And there's a light there. Well, we got there to the light, and there was one car in front of us, and it was turning left, and we were going to turn left. And the light was red. And we looked to the left, there's nothing coming. Looked to the right, nothing coming. We waited for the light to turn. It didn't turn. But then, unexpectedly, the car made a left-hand turn on red in front of us. And, you know, our son, who's a policeman, you know, he has this way of coming up with sayings, you know, to be logical, to make sense out of things. Like one time he said, "Sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't." And sometimes he says, "Dad, it's too early to get up and go to school. It's dark outside." But he looked at that and he said, "Well, right turn on red is sometimes permitted, but left turn on red is never permitted." And I thought at that point he was going to grab hold of this, you know, portable light and stick it up on top of the roof of the car and pull these people over and arrest them. But he doesn't have any jurisdiction in Ohio, only in Indiana. So they got away. This time, they got away. Well, take a moment and write down a couple laws that our government has that you have trouble obeying. Maybe there's a couple things that our government says we should be doing, but you're not doing it. Or you do it, but you don't want to do it. Are there a couple things that you struggle with? Well, every Christian has two citizenships. We are citizens of our country, and we are citizens of the kingdom of God. You know, the Jews, as a nation, were not accustomed to being in compliance with Rome. They had these guys, you know, that were called zealots, and they were really kind of like political terrorists. You know, they were kind of wait to see when the Roman soldiers weren't watching, they would stab them in the back with their dagger. They were terrorists, these zealots. And they were seen as kind of like national Jewish heroes for their nation. And the Jewish nation was always at war with Rome. And eventually it would cost them their temple and their city. And the whole nation would go into prison or slaves to the Roman government. So Christians, you know, they probably had in their mind, were Christians supposed to act in the same way? How were Christians supposed to act in relationship to the government? Like the Jews, who are always at war with the Romans? I mean, there are a lot of them, and there's a few of us. Is this going to work? It didn't work. And God's word tells us to act in a different way, doesn't it? Well, we owe our country many things, but our primary loyalty or worship belongs to God. And some things belong to the state, but everything that we have belongs to God. So let's look today at four general principles to guide our thinking and actions in our relationship with our country. First of all, we must submit to it. Look at verses 1 and 2. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. This passage, or this, what we're talking about now, is the first principle in getting along with the state, the country that we live in. And the passage that we read, Romans 13, 1 through 7, is the best passage in the entire Bible for describing our relationship with our country, with the state that we live in. So let's ask four questions about these first two verses to make sure we get this right in our head, right in our thinking. First question is, who is to submit, according to these verses 1 and 2? Who is to submit? Well, the King James Version makes it clear for us. It says, every soul. Every soul is to submit to their country. And King James or the NASB, NIV say every person or everyone. So it makes it really clear that there aren't any exceptions to this. It's a very inclusive and all-encompassing command. It's given to everyone. That means you, me, and every other Christian is to submit to the government. Like we have on our sign out front. Obey the government? Who? Me? Me too? Yep, me too. All of us have to obey the government. Second question, what are we to do? And the verb there is a very strong verb. It says submit. You could translate that be subject to, obey. To do as we are told. We are to do as we are told according to what the verse or the verb itself says. So the verb is a military verb, a military term. It describes soldiers who willingly place themselves under their commanding officer. So it's passive tense to it too. So it's something that you willingly do. You willingly obey to the people that God has placed over us. The same verse or same verb is found in Titus chapter 3, verse 1. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, that talk about the same topic. Submit, obey the government. So there's not any wiggle room there. There's no way we could say, well, the Bible doesn't teach us to submit to the government. So whom are we to obey? It says the governing authorities, the higher officials, God's agents for maintaining order and justice in our society. And then the passage also gives us why we are to obey them. They are established by God. And to rebel against them is to rebel against God and to bring judgment upon ourselves. Pretty straightforward, pretty tough command in those two verses. And this command covers about 99.99% of all the issues that we will face in this life. Obey. Just simply obey what the government tells us to do. And the only exception to that command is if the government tells us to do something that directly requires disobedience to God's word. And we'll go through some of these. We'll take a second just to go through some of these. And first one I found was some Jewish midwives in Exodus chapter 1, verse 17. These midwives had been commanded to throw the baby Jewish boys into the river if they were born. And this is what it said the midwives did. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. So in that situation, these ladies feared God more than they feared the king and let the babies live. Another situation is found in Joshua chapter 2. There was this lady who lived in Jericho, and her name was Rahab. And she saw that God's people were coming to her city. And she knew what God had said about what was going to happen to people in the promised land. And she decided to hide these spies. And God spared her life. She became a traitor for God. That's pretty amazing. I mean, if these guys wouldn't have come through, she would have been hung as a traitor. So that's in Joshua chapter 2. And then if you go to the book of Daniel, look at Daniel and his three buddies in Daniel chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. You know, they were captives. They were taken to Babylon, and they were told to eat this food that would have been unclean for them. And Daniel respectfully goes to the guy who's over him and asks that they be allowed for 10 days to eat something else. And this describes his attitude in Daniel chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink, and compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. But Daniel and his three buddies disobeyed the king rather, and obeyed God. You see the same situation in Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar decided that everyone should worship an idol, and Jewish people were forbidden to worship idols. And Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, approached the king when they were confronted about why they weren't worshiping the king and said to him, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold you have set up. So again, the fear of God was greater than the king's command. And then in Daniel chapter 6, these guys who were after Daniel's head, you know, came up with this rule about there should only be prayer offered to the king and not to any god. And in spite of everyone knowing that, Daniel, it says in verse 10, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except you, O king, will be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So we are to submit to the authorities, the government authorities, that God has placed over us, with the only exception being that if those authorities tell us something that directly contradicts what God tells us is right. And if we do disobey, and we do it with a certain attitude, and you know, respect for those leaders, and also with the attitude in our hearts, we're willing to die for this decision. We're willing to face the consequences that might happen to us because of the decision that we make. So we must submit to it. Secondly, obeying the state protects good citizens and punishes bad ones, according to verses 3 and 4. For the rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong, do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do good, to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. So government is a terror to evil people. And you know, that's the way it's set up. That's the way it's designed to be, to forcefully protect the safety of people in that society. Government brings fear, horror, and inability to sleep to those who disobey. Obeying the government allows us to fear God alone, not to fear people. The only ones who need to fear are the ones who do wrong. So how can we live without fear of the government? Obey the laws. Be respectful. Pay your taxes. Stop at red lights. Don't take advantage of your neighbors. Don't rob banks. Obey the state and escape tons of fearful days that could have been if we disobeyed God. Thirdly, we should obey because it's right. Look at verse 5. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Now, Christians have external and internal reasons for obeying our state. Externally, of course, to bail jail time, or to avoid jail time. Have you ever been inside of a jail? I served 6 months as a chaplain in a prison, and that's not a place I ever want to go again. You know, when they close the door behind you, as a chaplain even, you can't get out either. You know, you're stuck in there for the rest of the day until the guard comes around and leads you out. You know, you're not going to be much use for God if you're stuck in jail someplace. You'll be useful more for God if you're outside that jail. So externally, obeying God helps us to avoid jail time. Internally, it helps us to protect our own consciences. We know inside of us, God tells us that it's right to obey. And because we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds and living as living sacrifices, we are able to determine God's will in every situation that comes into our lives. Now, keeping the law is not just a question of outward compliance sometimes. It's also about internal obedience to God. Outwardly, we are honest on our tax forms, for example, writing in what we made, because we know if we don't, we're afraid that we'll get caught. That's external stuff. But inwardly, we are honest because we want to have a clear conscience before God. This is the God who reads our tax forms before we even send them in. He even reads our tax forms as we're making them out. He already knows what we're going to write down. We obey because it's right before God. And fourthly, the final point I have is paying taxes and honoring state officials is a natural playing out of our obedience to our country and pleases God. Look at verses 6 and 7. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. So these verses 6 and 7, are a summary statement. Christians are to live respectfully and honorably in the eyes of our government. It should fulfill all the requirements. It should meet all the obligations of being a good citizen, whether it's regarding taxes. In this case, the word here means tributes paid to a foreign leader. And that was really something the Jews really hated doing, you know, paying taxes to Rome in order to send their army, you know, to knock on our heads more. That's what they were paying taxes to do. Whether it was revenue, meaning paying custom duties, if stuff coming from other countries, or you sending things to other countries, you have to pay custom duties on those things, or respect, or honor. That's God's will for us. Paying taxes. You know, that was a big ethical question for missionaries who served in the Czech Republic when we were there. We decided early to pay our Czech taxes that we paid there and also our United States taxes. And we did that after consulting with Czech lawyers, Czech tax accountants, to figure out what exactly a good citizen should do. And it was a lot of work. You know, we had to raise a lot more money to stay in the Czech Republic if you just saw the taxes as part of the expense of living in that country. You know, it was their way of the country to keep missionaries out of the country is by charging them taxes. But, you know, there were other missionaries who decided not to pay taxes. Our consciences were clear, and we didn't live in fear. There were a lot of other things to be afraid of. Well, you didn't have to worry about, you know, the knock at the door from the tax authorities coming and hauling you away to jail. And our testimonies were not threatened. But, you know, some of those, even missionaries, who decided not to pay taxes, Czech taxes, got caught. And then they had to pay not only the taxes, but also the interest on the money, in addition to that, penalties on top of that. And plus, their testimonies were tarnished forever. These are people that come here and they don't pay taxes. Christians are to obey the laws of the country that they live in, even though their real eternal citizenship is in heaven. Everyone must submit to himself to the governing authorities. That's what it says in verse 1. Which laws do you have trouble obeying? Is there anything that you wrote down at the beginning of our little talk today? And as a Christian, how does the gospel help you to obey the laws? The gospel helps us with that, doesn't it? Yeah, we don't want to. There's something inside of us that says, I don't want to obey that this time. I want to go left. I want to go left here at the red light, even though I know it's wrong. And there's nothing coming. I can see for a mile, half a mile away. There's nothing coming to the right. There's nothing coming to the left. Nobody's going to see. I can get away with this. Why can't I just turn left too? But, you know, there's other people that were watching. We were watching. All my grandkids were watching. And this person deliberately broke the law. Obeying the law only makes sense, I mean, totally, completely, if we know Christ as our Savior. Because it's not just the external things, but also the internal things. We want our consciousness to be right with God. We want to be as effective for Jesus as we can be in the amount of time that he's given us in this body, in this life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. Thanks for the challenge today from the Word of God about obeying the government. And thanks for the challenge every day of the week we have in obeying what the law says. Lord, we just pray that we'll put these things into practice and people will see Jesus working in us to help us to be obedient to God and to the state. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.